and it is great to be with you today. If you are here for the first time, we are so grateful to for you to be our guest today, and we welcome you. We welcome all of you, and you all especially might notice this good-looking guy up here with a white uniform on, Aaron Russo, our Aaron has finished 5 weeks of training in Rhode Island and now will be headed to South Carolina, and this weekend in between was able to come home and be with his family and has blessed us with his presence as well. So I know you'll want to say hello to him today before he heads off again this afternoon. I also want to let you know that the mission box for today, those wooden boxes that are by the exit doors, is for Family Promise. And that's an organization here in town that provides housing through local churches for people who are without a home or a place to stay. For families, they stay in churches for a week at a time. It's a wonderful organization, and then provides some transitional housing after that, which Trinity has been a part of as well. So I encourage you to think about that as you leave this morning. The mission boxes are by all of the exit doors. And remember, we're still collecting for Thanksgiving baskets as well, and there are specific food items you can bring each week. But if you just want to go to the grocery store and buy a bunch of stuff and bring it all at once, you are, of course, welcome to do that as well. You know, when I first came to Gainesville, and people would say, "Now, what brought you back?" And I would tell them that I was one of the pastors here. The response that I heard several times was, "Oh, Trinity, that's the big church." Something about that didn't feel exactly right to me, and I wanted to have a good response to that. And so I began to think and to pray about it, and what I began to say was, when they would say, "Well, Trinity, that's a big church," I would say, "Well, Trinity is definitely a big-hearted church, and I am grateful to serve here. I am grateful for you and your big-heartedness. We are a big-hearted people. That's one of the core values. That's something that's evident in all that we do and who we are." And so I'm grateful for that. And as we begin worship today, I invite you to join me in what we often say on Sunday mornings: welcome home. So I invite you to stand up with our big-hearted selves and say hello to someone near you. Introduce yourself if you don't know them. Reach across the aisle or turn around behind you.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's begin worship by singing our opening hymn.
We strive for salvation alone.
gracious God, we are here to worship you and to serve you all in all. With all that we are, we offer ourselves in worship and praise to you. So transform us, renew us, restore us in this time that we spend together. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you join me in affirming our faith once again with a creed that's been written around the idea of being big-hearted this week as one of our core values? So join me. We believe that human beings were created in God's image to live in loving relationships with God and one another, and to care for creation as we carry on God's work in the world. We believe that God calls us to open our hearts, to celebrate the diversity of humanity, to welcome all people, to offer compassion, and to seek justice and mercy for our neighbors. In response to God's generous love and extravagant grace revealed through Christ's life, death, and resurrection, we offer our whole selves to the work of bringing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Go to God together in prayer. And as we do, we want to remember that those folks that we're visiting in hospice, we have an elsewhere. If there's anyone's name who's not there that you think we should be visiting with, please don't hesitate to let us know. You can call the office, send an email. We're happy to have our care team here for those in our community who are in need of visitation. In addition to that, we still want to be praying for all of those who are in the wake of Hurricane Michael and even still those who are recovering from Hurricane Florence. So please keep those folks in your prayers as well. As we begin our time in prayer today, we'll start with some silence. We don't have enough of that in our lives typically, so we'll have a moment of silence, and you can use that time to lift up any joys or concerns that are on your heart, or you can just listen for what the Holy Spirit has for you today. Then I'll lead us in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who exists in perfect harmony and union as three in one. Tune our hearts this morning to hear the pulse of your heartbeat and to be moved by the ancient rhythm and melody that courses throughout creation, proclaiming the great mystery of your boundless and endless love. We come to you this morning in prayer, longing for your righteousness to flow like rainwater and your justice like bubbling streams, healing our fractured relationships in ways that create wholeness and unity that mirrors your very being. We come to you hungering for something from you that will change our lives and our world. We come hungering for honesty instead of corruption, for generosity instead of greed, for integrity instead of injury. Hungering for our neighbors to be fed and for all to have enough honor kids were growing up, we would just put a pause on everything and we would think, okay, you guys come here and sit down. We're going to have a little family conversation. So this morning, we're going to pause everything for just a minute and we're going to have a little family conversation. You all may have received a letter this week that let you know that Trinity, we are in need of a new roof. In 1999, we were so blessed to be able to move to this property and build these facilities. And our building team did a wonderful job with the enormous task of building these facilities and enabling us to move here. Unfortunately, just a few years after we moved in, the trustees began to realize that there were some flaws in the design and the construction of our roof. They have tried to mitigate those issues for many years, patching and doing different types of things. But you may have noticed that there are places and facilities where there are significant leaks. One is in the corner of the hospitality or bride's room or cry room or whatever you want to call it. It's right back here. The classroom, when you go from the atrium down the children's hallway, the first classroom on the left, on the right, we've actually closed and we're not using with children anymore because we don't feel like it's prudent to do so because one of the leaks is so significant there. You may have even noticed this lovely piece of something that hangs down in front of the top of the cross. That, too, is a sign of a leak, and that piece has come down from our ceiling. So, the time has come for us to put a new roof on this facility, to redesign and re-roof the entire metal roof except for the new addition on the far end and the flat roof in places as well. That's not an expense that we were anticipating, but it is one that is needed at this time. We can't put it off any longer. And so what I'm inviting you to do is to pray about what your part will be in raising the roof. It's at the point where we must do something. I invite you to pray about that, and then next Sunday, when you have the opportunity to make a commitment or a pledge to our 2019 operating budget, I invite you to pray about what you will do above and beyond that so that together we can raise the roof. You can make a one-time gift. You can make monthly gifts. And we're going to try to raise as much money as we can prior to June of 2019 so that we can cover as much of the roof as we can with cash. Now, it's a large amount. That roof will cost probably more than $800,000. But together, I believe that we can do this. If we each give sacrificially, and we pray to God for direction, I trust that we can do this. Trinity has been generous and been able to do, by the grace of God, miraculous things in the past, and I trust that we can do that now as well. We have some information about some lead gifts to get us moving in the right direction, and we look forward to sharing that information with you in the pastor's message on Thursday. So be sure and look for that. And then I invite you again to please pray about what it is that God might be leading to you to do as we all together, as a family, tackle this and raise the roof so that we can continue to be a home for Trinity and for the community as we continue to be the church living out the kingdom in the world. This morning we also, as we do regularly, have the opportunity to offer to God our tithes and our offerings. You can do that by putting your offerings in the offering plate. There's also a QR code on your bulletin that you can use, and you can give online. And many of you do give regularly online and have something set up to do that. So let me invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray this morning. God of grace, we hear your call to generous giving in the way that you meet our needs each day. And in the peace you give which surpasses understanding, having received so much, we offer what we have, our time, our talent, our money, for your kingdom. Bless these gifts for the work of your church in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
God's church, called to be God's people as living witnesses, as followers of Christ. Today we continue our series of messages looking at core values, those things that are at the very core of our being as this particular church called Trinity. We started 2 weeks ago with Catherine sharing a message about how we are called to be bound by love, a message that and a value that reflects the character of our relationship with one another as the body of Christ joined in mission and ministry. And then last week we looked at the core value of being Christ-minded, a value that focuses on the attitude or the posture that we have toward others and to the world. And today, as we've already alluded to a couple of times this morning in worship, today is the core value of being big-hearted. And this week, as last week, we invited some folks who are a part of Trinity to share a little bit about what comes to mind to them, for them when they think of that phrase, big-hearted. And so I invite you once again to take a look at the screens and see what they have to say.
So when I hear the word big-hearted, what comes to mind for me is compassionate, big-hearted, generous,
loving.
Yes.
Loving wide open love with no qualifications.
When I think of big hearted, I think of a generous spirit. You want to reach out to people, you want to help them, you want to be there, whether they're in crisis or it's the good times. You're just wanting to always be available to those who are in need of any kind.
When I think of an example of Trinity being big-hearted, the one that leaps into my mind always is when the church down the road was going to be burning copies of the Quran, and our church took a stand, which I thought was marvelous and timely, and we welcomed people of different faiths, different backgrounds, to an evening of sharing culture and faith and just sharing each other, and it opened our doors to a community in such a wonderful way, and I love that we did that.
Well, being big-hearted to me really means that you have to be in a good relationship with God, and you're actively trying to seek His will and learning more about Him, and then using that to see how He can guide you to help those people that are in need around you.
This core value of big-heartedness, I like to think I live in a big-hearted way, but I think what happens when you have a church that lives in a big-hearted way, that it spills over into your life by providing you small communities, friends, a church family that we all need. And I think that when you live in a big-hearted way as a church or as an individual, you're going to find yourself surrounded by people to uphold you.
Yeah, it adds a richness, I think, that you lack if you don't have a big-hearted family surrounding.
Without this core value of being big-hearted and reaching out to others, how are we going to bring others to Christ? Because people, once they know you love them and you want to help them, they want to know where that comes from. And I think that's going to continue the growth of Trinity and continue the fact that we're serving Christ in His model, that we do need to reach out and be available. And that when we love people, the greatest commandment, then we're going to bring them to Christ.
Christians by
Patrick Lencioni, in his book The Advantage, says that core values are behavioral traits that are inherent to an organization. They lie at the heart of an identity. Well, if that is the case, then big-hearted certainly fits as a core value of the people of Trinity. Last year, as folks looking at what these core values would be and discerning what really truly represented the heartbeat of Trinity. With each core value, there were some supporting words or phrases that helped flesh that out a little further. And as I was looking at those words that are that fall under the value of big-hearted this past week, I was thinking of examples of each of those and how Trinity has lived them out in one way or another. One of those words is welcoming. And you heard Beth Haynes in the video today talk about that overwhelming experience of welcoming that occurred here several years ago. In fact, when Catherine and I first got here to be your pastors a little over 2 years ago, many of you know and a lot of you participated in home gatherings where we had the opportunity to visit with people. And one of the questions we asked at all of those was, tell us about something in Trinity's history since you've been a part of it that was really significant and an important memory for you. One of those memories that we've heard about time and time again is the one that Beth referenced in the video today, that gathering here for peace, hope, and understanding, where it was about bringing the whole community together and opening wide the doors and hearts to others. Another one of the words that connects with being big-hearted is the word compassionate, and you've heard that lifted up in the video as well. And as I think about Trinity's compassion for one another and for the community, I think about our relationship with Family Promise, the focus of our Mission Box offering today, and a mission and ministry that Trinity is invested in caring for persons who find themselves homeless and in need of some support and help in transitioning back to being home secure. Another one of the words or phrases under big-hearted is mission focus. And my goodness, how many mission possibilities there are for persons to connect with through Trinity. Teams going out into our community, teams going out into places like the Appalachian Mountains, and I'm sure teams that will be going to the Panhandle in the days and weeks and months ahead. Teams that go to other countries and other parts of the world to serve. Hands being offered. Love being extended as hearts open wide to care for those in our community and in our world. Another one of the phrases is loving our neighbors. And I think about the mission of connecting with our neighbors in Northeast Gainesville that began a few years ago and has blossomed into what we know as Faith Mission, that continues to emerge as a way for us to love and to get to know our neighbors and to connect with them in service and mission to the community around them. And then the fifth and final word that falls under big-hearted is the word generous. And in the video today, both Roger and Terry used that word, generous. And certainly, as we look at the history of Trinity, you can think of times when generosity has spilled over in order to build facilities, in order to fund ministries, in order to reach beyond the doors and walls of the church in ministry and mission to others. Terry used the phrase in the video, a generous spirit. And that really is where it starts. It starts deep within us. Generosity is a matter of the heart. And one of the things that we need to be clear on is that generosity is something that involves our whole selves. That's why the generous spirit is such an appropriate phrase for us, because to have a generous spirit is to be filled with a way of being that allows that generosity to spill over into every aspect of our lives. One of the easy ways to define that is in terms of the three T's: our time, our talents, and also our gifts and skills, and our treasure. And it's important for us as we think about that generous spirit and what generosity looks like to recognize that it is never an either or. It is always a full picture of generosity that involves our whole selves. Whenever we hold back in one area, when we allow God to use us in generous ways in certain areas but hold back in another area, we resist the work that God wants to do on expanding our hearts to their greatest capacity. I think of that line from the hymn, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. A generous spirit is something that always emerges out of an awareness and thanksgiving for God's unconditional love and generosity for us. So I want to walk us through a story today that we find in the book of Exodus. A story that I believe is one of the greatest stories of collective generosity ever. And so it's a story that points us in the direction of this way of having a generous spirit. And as I read this story and comment on it along the way today, listen for those phrases that talk about the spirit and the heart as being at the core of our generosity along the way and what happens as a result of it. So you're going to be able to follow along today. I'm going to stop at various points to comment on what we see happening in the story. It comes to us from the 35th chapter of Exodus. But let me set the background for just a moment before I read the passage. This is in the book of Exodus, which of course is the story of God's people, the people of Israel, being liberated from slavery in Egypt and wandering through the wilderness for years until the point when they are ready to then enter into the promised land. And you remember that Moses leads the people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea and to freedom, and they begin wandering in the wilderness. And at one point during their wanderings, Moses is called up to Mount Sinai. And he spends 40 days there receiving instruction from God, receiving the Ten Commandments, but also all of the law that would guide the people's life in their covenant relationship with God. And along with those commandments and that full giving of the law, in that meeting with God, Moses also receives very specific instructions about a tabernacle that is to be built for which the people are to make offerings, and that tabernacle will be the sign of God's presence with them as they continue their journey through the wilderness. Now, the details are so specific that it takes 7 chapters in the book of Exodus to describe them all. Chapters 25 through 31 walk us through those details. And then at the end of that, Moses comes down from the mountain. And you remember what happens when he gets down from the mountain? The people have gotten restless. They've gotten tired of waiting. And so they've gone to Moses' brother Aaron and said, you know what, we're tired of waiting on this God. Let's build our own God. And they build an idol, the golden calf. And Moses, as he sees this, is distraught and angry, can't believe what has happened, smashes the tablets that he's been given. But then he returns to the mountain another time and on behalf of the people pleads with God that they might be forgiven and that they might have another opportunity to live in faithfulness and obedience. And after that visit, Moses comes back to the people again. And it is at that point that the story picks up here. Chapter 35 begins with a reminder from Moses to the people to keep the Sabbath holy. And then he launches into the instructions regarding the tabernacle. So let me begin to read this for us now. Moses said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. take from among you an offering to the Lord. Let whoever is of a generous heart, there's that word, bring the Lord's offering. Gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine linen. And as we read through these lists of the different aspects of the offering, notice that there are many different pieces to the offering. They are not all the same. They do not all have the same expense or monetary value, but they are all important to the work that God intends for the people of Israel to do in crafting this tabernacle where His presence will be made known. Goat's hair, Moses continues, tanned ram skins and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and the breastpiece. And you notice this part. All who are skillful among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. So in those first few verses, we hear Moses outlining the offerings, the generosity in terms of things of monetary value that people will bring to make possible the work. But now we get a picture of that generosity also being in terms of time and talent that will be spent by those who have the ability and the skills to do the work. And so Moses said, all who are skillful among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its clasps and its frames, its bars, its pillars, and its bases. The ark with its poles, the mercy seat, and the curtain for the screen. The table with its poles and all its utensils and the bread of the presence. The lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light. Did you all realize there was this much detail in the book of Exodus about the tabernacle? And the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the entrance of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court. And we're getting the short version right here. You know, this is the shortened version, the Reader's Digest condensed version of what was outlined in chapters 25 through 31. The pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords. The finely worked vestments for ministering in the holy place. The holy vestments for the priest Aaron. And the vestments of his sons for their service as priests. Wow. So Moses shares all of this with the people. And then the story tells us that all the congregation of the Israelites withdrew from the presence of Moses. Now we're going to pause there for just a minute and think about this. So Moses, having come down with very specific instructions about what is to be, has delivered the message, has delivered the ask to the people of Israel, to the people of God. And having done so, the people leave from the presence. They withdraw from the presence of Moses. They go back to their homes. This is the pause that happens every year in almost every church in America and in other parts of the world as well. When a pastor or some leader makes an ask and invites the congregation to be a part of making ministry happen for the coming year in the life of that church. And at that particular moment, when everyone goes home, nobody knows exactly how the people will respond. Moses couldn't have possibly known at this moment, at this pause point in the story, how the people were going to respond. After all, let's not forget that it wasn't that long before when in their impatience and frustration waiting for Moses, they had decided to use their accumulated wealth to build a golden calf that they would offer. So how are the people going to respond, Moses? Well, at verse 21, we begin to get the answer to that. And they came. Everyone whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and brought the Lord's offering to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the sacred vestments. So they came, both men and women. All who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings, and signet rings and pendants, all sorts of gold objects, everyone bringing an offering of gold to the Lord. Notice how many times we hear in this section the words everyone and all. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or crimson yarn or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or fine leather brought them. Notice that it doesn't say that everyone had those things, but that everyone who did have them brought them. People brought what they had the ability or the capacity to bring. The story continues. Everyone who could make an offering of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's offering. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. All the skillful women spun with their hands. And again, we get that picture of using one's skills, one's talents, as a part of the generous offering. They brought what they had spun in blue and purple and crimson yarns and fine linen. All the women whose hearts moved them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and gems in the ephod and the breastplate. The leaders, because the leaders in that context were the ones who had the capacity to bring those elements that would be most expensive in the work to be done for the tabernacle. And so what the story tells us is that the leaders did what leaders do. They stepped up and spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women whose hearts made them willing to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done brought it as a free will offering. The word of God for the people of God. God's people say, thanks be to God. What an extraordinary story. What a remarkable image of a community of faith, of church, if you will, at its best. You know, there is something really important, really powerful about all of us being invested together. One of the things that this story teaches us is, and reminds us of, is that we don't all have the same capacity for generosity when it comes to quantity. But we sure do have the same capacity when it comes to quality. And the collective generosity of a congregation is an extraordinary thing that can let loose ministries and possibilities. abilities far beyond what we could ever imagine for ourselves. In fact, in this story, the unimaginable happens in the next chapter. In chapter 36, you know what happens? Does anybody remember this story to know what happens after this? After Moses makes the plea and after people start bringing the offerings back? The workers go to work. And as they are working on building the tabernacle, they start receiving so much. The offering is so generous and so overflowing that they go to Moses and they say to Moses, "Tell the people to stop. We have more than enough for the work that we need to do." Now imagine that with me for a moment. Imagine next year, in 2019, us coming to you in October and saying, "Friends, you know what? We have already received all that we need to meet the needs of the Trinity budget for 2019. You have already given more than enough for us to fulfill all of the ministries that we had planned for this year. So guess what? Anything from here on out we can use for dreams that we could only begin to imagine." Would that be a great day or what? Can you imagine what that would be like if we could say that as a church at some point in the year? What an extraordinary thing that would be. So here's my invitation. Next Sunday, each of us will have an opportunity to bring what we can. To bring the commitment that represents what we have the capacity to offer. And lay it before God to say, "I am in this with my brothers and sisters as a part of this church. And we are all going to do this together." And we can't wait to see what God will do. I hope that you will make my heart sore. I hope that you will make one another's hearts sore by being an encouragement to each other, by all of us, every one of us, bringing a commitment next week to be a part of what God wants to do among us. And when it's all done, may we all be able to say, "Thanks God for God's abundant generosity and grace to us." God, thank you. Thank you for who you are and the big-hearted way in which you love us. For a big-hearted response with our whole lives. In Jesus' name we pray.
Come to this table and we celebrate and we give thanks for God's abundance and God's generosity. It is here that we give our thanks and praise to God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. We remember the abundance in the garden and all that God generously gave and created, ultimately creating us and breathing life into us. We remember that God's un Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to be with us, to show us how to live. We remember that when there was not enough food for the crowd, God provided abundance on only the loaves and the fish. And ultimately, God provided Jesus as the bread of life for each one of us. And in his generosity, was willing to sacrifice his own life in obedience to God so that we might have abundant life. We remember that on the night before he died, Christ took bread and he broke the bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and again gave thanks to God and gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come to the table with hearts stirred and willing spirits, and we offer ourselves. As we come, we offer our lives, we offer our hearts, we offer our very being, all that we are and all that we have, in response to God's love in our lives. We pray. Holy and loving God, pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we can go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, O God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until you come in final victory, and we share in the abundant peace at your heavenly banquet. In the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. I invite those who are showing this way to come and receive the elements.
wide open